What we're doing tonight is continuing a study that we started 3 weeks ago because we had VBS and we had 4th of July. Now, if you weren't here 3 weeks ago, don't worry about it because basically all we said 3 weeks ago was we're fixing to start a study on spiritual gifts. Tonight, we're starting that study. So even if you weren't here 3 weeks ago, not a big deal if you missed that. So, but tonight, we're going to continue that on. Does anybody else need any of the sheets? Does everybody have a sheet? Okay. All right. Now, let me start off by saying this about spiritual gifts. And let me make a statement and see if you agree with me on this. I believe the doctrine of spiritual gifts is probably one of the least understood doctrines in the Bible. How many of us in here really feel like I got a good grasp of spiritual gifts? I know what they mean, how they're used, what they are. I know everything about what their purpose is. How many of us really feel that way? I would imagine not many of us. For whatever reason, it's just one of those things that there's not a lot of focus on, but at the same time, while they're probably one of the most least understood doctrines of the Bible, I believe as we go through this, we're going to learn or see that it's also one of the most important doctrines of the Bible. Why did I say that? You know, because what we're talking about, and the preacher, you're supposed to exaggerate a little bit to make sure you get everybody, you know, the attention. No, that's not why I'm saying that. Why I'm saying that is this. If spiritual gifts are not practiced the way God intends them to, the church does not function the way God intends it to. And therefore, not only is the church impacted, but the world is impacted. Okay? So if the church didn't function the way it's supposed to, and we're not reaching the world the way God wants us to, that's pretty big things, consequences, right? And so with those being said, that's why I think it's the least understood doctrine, one of the least, but it's also one of the more important doctrines at the same time. So we're going to go through this slow. We're not going to look at a whole lot tonight, but we're going to do it over about 3 weeks. We're starting kind of high, and we're going to kind of get more deep into it. We're not actually talking about specific spiritual gifts tonight. We're talking about what spiritual gifts are tonight. We will actually get to a point as we go through this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, where we will actually be talking specifically about some of those spiritual gifts. But not all of them, because not all of them are in this chapter. But at least it'll kind of get our feet wet with that. So here's what I want us to do tonight. First of all, you know what, Brother Bo, I am going to need you for one thing. If somebody would like to read, let's go and read these four verses. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. If somebody just would volunteer, Brother Bo will bring the Miss Sue. Thank you.
Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, there's four statements I want to make here. And actually, I'm going to kind of restate what Paul said, and we're going to discuss what these four verses mean tonight, okay? Not a real big message tonight, but very important stuff to kind of get our feet on the ground to understand this message. Let me say this, too. I realize it's warm in here. The air has been on all day. It's just hot outside. It's hard to cool this sanctuary down. We do have the guys coming to service all of our units hopefully next week. He's going to be looking at these two as well to make sure they're functioning the way that they're supposed to. It's just as hot as it is. I mean, the air is set to come on automatically on Wednesdays in the morning. It's been on all day. It's just hot. I apologize for that. So just to let you know that. So anyway, four statements. The very first one seems pretty a restatement. It is. First statement is there are a variety of gifts. There are a variety of gifts. That's exactly what Paul says in verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, this word gift here, it literally means a gift of grace or a free gift. That's what the word means. Now, think about that a minute. A gift of grace or a free gift. In other words, spiritual gifts are not something that come natural to us. They are something that are given to us. And they are given to us out of the grace of God. That's what it's saying, okay? This is not something that comes natural to us. I hear this a lot. A lot of Christians confuse some of their own natural abilities and talents and skills to be their spiritual gift. And there's a difference between a natural talent or ability and a spiritual gift. Both believers and unbelievers have abilities and talents, right? They're born with them. They develop them throughout their life, both believers and unbelievers. Spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are given only to the believer by God at the time of his salvation. Okay? So unbelievers don't have spiritual gifts. And there is a difference between a spiritual gift and a talent or ability. For example, spiritual gifts are not things like being artistic. I would not have that spiritual gift. It is not something like being able to sing well. I think we all know where I stand on that one. Praise the Lord, these aren't spiritual gifts, okay? It's not being able to play a musical instrument. It's not having a charismatic personality. Those things are talents, abilities, skills that people have. They come natural. Now, spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are not natural, but rather supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit to a person when they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So you see that. And do you agree with me? A lot of times we get that confused. Sometimes we mix up, you know, well, his spiritual gift or her spiritual gift is singing. Boy, she can sing beautifully. That's her spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift. Now, we're going to talk more about this, but spiritual gifts can be used through our talents and abilities. Okay? Somebody can sing a song and they have a beautiful talent, but they also have the gift of encouragement. Man, you're just encouraged as they're singing that song. And so we have to understand the difference between these two. Now, two things I want to make sure, and this is really, I want you to leave here with this, okay? And don't stop paying attention after I tell you these two things, but I want you to leave here and make sure everybody understands these two things. First of all, I want you to make sure you understand tonight, every single believer has a spiritual gift. Every single believer has a spiritual gift. Where did I get that? Actually, jump down to verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit, we're going to see in a minute, is talking about spiritual gifts. So to each, a spiritual gift has been given. So if you are a believer, a true believer, you have a spiritual gift. It's not a matter of if we have a gift, it is what our gift is. That's the question. What is our spiritual gift? Now, so that's number one, right? Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Here's number two. A lot of times we get number one, but we miss out number two. This is where I think it's harming the church. Every Christian has a spiritual gift, right? Every Christian has a responsibility to practice their spiritual gift. Number one, every Christian has a spiritual gift. Number two, every Christian has a responsibility to practice that spiritual gift. When a Christian does not practice his spiritual gift, it's actually a sin. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. To not practice our spiritual gift is a sin. We said a minute ago, it weakens the church. It weakens the church by hindering the work that God wants to carry out through that body of Christ. And so it's a sin. It's a serious thing. So what does a Christian need to do to be faithful in practicing their spiritual gift? I think it starts with two things. And this is from a practical side, okay? We just learned, we all got spiritual gifts. We have a responsibility to practice it. What are a couple of things? What's a spiritual gift 101? What are the two things we have to do to make sure that we are in position to not sin, and in other words, not to practice our spiritual gift, but to make sure we're doing it? First of all, number one, we must be an active member of a local church. That's undebatable. Some people think, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus. I can take or leave the church. That's not biblical. We have to be an active member of the local church. I mean, it makes sense, right? If we don't gather regularly with the church, we can't practice our spiritual gift regularly, right? So first of all, we got to be here. That's the first step. We got to be here. But even that's not enough. Let me say this too. The reason we got to be here is because the place that God wants us to practice our spiritual gifts is in the church. That's what we're going to see throughout this. It's not like, well, I'm just going to take my spiritual gift and I'm not going to practice that in the church. I'm going to go do that out here apart from believers. That's not how it works. In fact, we're going to see in a minute who the spiritual gifts are actually for, okay, primarily. And so we must be there at the church. Also, it's not enough to gather with the church. We also must serve in the church. We must be a faithful member in a local church, and we must serve in the church. We also must serve in a way, and this is important, that allows us to practice that gift. What happens is chaos. When a person gets put in an area of service, and that's not their spiritual gift, chaos ensues. But I'll just tell you what happens more times than not. You have a small, select group of people in a church who are willing to serve. And they just go, man, just put me wherever. And because you have so many who aren't serving, these individuals are spread, number one, first of all, so thin, and they're having to serve in areas that it's not their spiritual gift. It makes it hard. It makes it hard. So we have to understand these are things. You got to be there and you got to serve. We just can't just come week in and week out and sit on a pew and not serve anywhere. We can't just come in and not be part of the fellowship of Christ. Okay? We are called to be active members of the body of Christ. This is not a spectator sport. Okay? To follow Christ, by definition, is not a spectator sport. You know, there are parts of the human body that are useless. You ever thought about this? I mean, there are parts of you, and I think about this. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Doc Hollywood. Anybody ever seen that movie? Michael J. Fox. He basically takes a very expensive car. He's a doctor on his way to Hollywood. He wrecks it in this little small town. He takes it to this little small town mechanic, and he's there the whole time. Anyway, the mechanic brings back this box when he returns his car, and he shakes it. He goes, what's in here? He goes, extra parts. Whenever I put a car together, I always have a few extra parts. But I think about that. But, you know, the body has a few extra parts, doesn't it? How many of you ever had your appendix taken out? A few of you. How many of you ever had your tonsils taken out? Okay. How many of you ever had your wisdom teeth taken out? All right. I mean, okay, I see people in front of me. They actually had a body part taken out of them, and they continue to function. Right? Some of you pretty well. Some of you, yeah. I'm just kidding. But obviously those parts, we didn't really need them, did we? They were useless. They were just sitting there in the body and really served no purpose, obviously. And look, here's my point. A lot of church members, or some church members sometimes, are kind of act like useless body parts. They just sit there in the church, really not fulfilling any purpose or function. But that's not God's plan. God has a purpose for every single Christian to serve in the church. He's given every Christian a purpose. He's called some to be the hands and the feet of the church. He's called some to be the mouth of the church. I mean that in a good way, by the way. He's called some to be the brain of the church or the stomach of the church. So some of you might be like, well, how did I sign up for that job? But he gives us, we're parts of a body. We're members of a body. Throughout Scripture, it compares the body of Christ to the members of a physical body. And when one member, a lot of us can testify to this. They may hear some amens, but you know, a lot of us, when one part of our body goes down, man, the whole body goes down. What do we have to do? We have to go to the doctor. We have to go to the hospital. We have to do all these things. And so God has designed it as we're different members, and the members all have to do their job for the body to function like it's supposed to. And so that's that whole purpose of it. So we're all different parts of the body, different reasons. And so here's the deal. We all have, every Christian has a purpose in the church, and they have a responsibility to fulfill that purpose. How do they do that? By practicing their spiritual gift. If you or I are not practicing our spiritual gift in church, we are not fulfilling the purpose that God has for us in the church. Okay? And remember, natural talents and abilities are not enough. That's not spiritual gifts. Say, well, I do this or I do that. If it's a talent, you're not practicing spiritual. Now, you could be doing both, okay? But just because you're practicing a talent or ability doesn't mean you're practicing your spiritual gifts. So be careful about that. Now, what does the writer mean here when he says a variety of gifts in verse 4? Well, the word variety here literally means allotment or distribution is what it's talking about. And listen, bear with me on this. The idea here is that God distributes spiritual gifts in various forms. Various forms. You can't really think of, this gift. It's a danger in trying to list specific gifts. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Well, didn't you say there's lists in the Bible? There are. There's three passages. I gave these to you last week. Write them down if you want to. Three passages that give us lists of spiritual gifts. First of all, right here in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10 and verse 28. We're going to be talking about all those verses as we go through this study. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 and verse 28. Then Romans 12. I told you last time, if these remember, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to turn to these spiritual gifts any time, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, two books back to back in the Bible. Romans 12 is verses 6 through 8. And another one that some people will point to is 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. And here's the thing about these lists. If you were to look at these three lists right now, they're not identical. There are some things, they're overlapping in some lists, but they're not identical lists. And there's actually a lot of debate about the various spiritual gifts. Everywhere you read, this scholar, this author, wherever you go, they'll say there's different number of gifts. They'll define the gifts differently. There's a lot of debate over this, but here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I believe. Those gifts are not meant to be specific individual gifts. They are categories of gifts. Think broader. They are categories of gift. They give us, they're not distinct and specific gifts. Also, it's best to understand each person's gift as a unique blend. Now bear with me, okay? I got a spiritual gift, you got a spiritual gift. Don't think of it as just one gift, or two gifts, or three gifts, okay? Three distinct individual gifts. It's a blend of gifts. Let me do it this way. Think about a painter, all right? A painter's got three or four different colors, and they kind of mix those together to create a unique color that's kind of a shade of all those different colors that are mixed together, right? That's kind of what spiritual gifts are like. We have different proportions of different gifts, okay? Does that make sense? And this is what Paul's talking about here when he's talking about the varieties of gifts. He's saying there's different proportions of this. God gives every believer different proportions and various categories of the gifts. In other words, we have overlapping combination of gifts. It's not like, it's not like I got these three gifts, one, two, three. You may have different, those three gifts may be part of your gifts, but there's different levels. They're all combined together, working together. And once again, think about an artist smearing those colors together, mixing the colors together to create a unique color. And that's kind of how this works. One person, okay? One person may be strong in a single gift. That may be, they still have this blend, but this gift stands out, okay? You go, okay, this is their primary gift, their basic gift. Another person may not even have be strong in one gift. They may have a certain measure of three or four different categories of gifts. And sometimes when it's like that, you're like, well, what is my spiritual gift? And we're going to talk more as we go through this, how we can identify what our gifts are and where we need to be serving. I said a few weeks ago, one of the best ways to do that is as you go through the study with somebody and you both understand it, and then you ask the person who knows you best. Generally, they can probably give you a better idea than even you can. Sometimes we think we have a spiritual gift, and we don't really have it. And so we got to be careful about that. And so also, as we said a minute, because you have this shade of different colors, it's all mixed together, each believer's gift is unique from other believers. No two people have the same spiritual gift makeup, okay? It's kind of like fingerprints, right? We all have different fingerprints, all right? We all also have different spiritual gifts. And so that's what he means by variety of gifts. He's not talking about there's just a bunch of different numbers of gifts. He's talking about there's just a variety of the makeup and the mixture of gifts, okay? So that's number one. That's the longest point, okay? These next ones are going to kind of be shorter. But number two, number one was there's a variety of gifts. Number two, the gifts are used in a variety of ministries. They are used in a variety of ministries. Verse 5 says, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Paul is saying here that not only are there different gifts, but these gifts are also used in different ways, even by those who have the same basic gift. Okay, we may have a gift, and let me give you an example of this. You take two people, all right? They both have the gift of teaching. Same basic gift, right? But they may use those in different ministries. One of them may be a teacher in a preschool Sunday school class. Okay? I don't have that gift. I would be the one causing the trouble with the preschoolers, okay? It would get out of control pretty quick if I was their teacher. So we're very thankful for people like Miss Debbie and Miss Wanda who teach the preschool class, okay? But think about another person who has the gift of teaching. And they teach students in a seminary. Right? Those are two. They both have the gift of teaching, but they are used, they're equipped to teach in different ministries. And that's what Paul is saying here. There are varieties of service. Another example, okay? Evangelism. There could be somebody who, you know what, how they are equipped? They are equipped to stand in front of very large numbers and preach evangelistically and do it very well. Who's the first person that comes to your mind who passed away here recently? Billy Graham. I think we'd all agree Billy Graham had the gift of evangelism. But you know what? There's probably somebody who has the same measure of gift of evangelism that we've never heard of. Why? Their gift is doing one-on-one witnessing. They're not in front of large crowds. And I'll tell you, one that comes to mind is personally the greatest soul winner I've ever known that I knew was Gray Allison, okay, with Mid-America. Yes, he was a preacher, but look, he was never comfortable. He's never comfortable in front of crowds. But if Gray Allison, I heard over and over and over from seminary professors, if they'd be a group of four professors driving to a conference somewhere, they could be in the car 5 hours and Dr. Allison would not speak a word to them. He'd just sit there. But then they'd make a stop at a gas station. Everybody'd go in and get something to drink and they all get in the car and like, where's Dr. Gray? An hour later, he'd walk out and they'd ask him, you know, they're hugging a guy and kissing him and praying over him at the front door. They're like, who was that guy? It's like, well, guy told about Jesus when I was in there, and he just came to the Lord. I mean, he did that everywhere. They said in restaurants. He just did that one-on-one. His gift of evangelism, more so than standing up in front of the masses and proclaiming it, was a one-on-one evangelism. And so this is what he's talking about when he's talking about different ministries. The word that's translated service here in verse 5 is the same word that's translated other places in the Bible as servant, and guess what? Deacon. Same words. Deacon and servant. The primary role of the deacon is to serve the church. Guess who else used that word for himself? The Lord Jesus. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve. Jesus said that he came to minister to others on behalf of God. Now here's the deal. He's not here right now. Right? He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father, waiting for that moment to come back. But until that moment, here's what he's done. His Spirit has given gifts to his people so they can do the same thing. They can serve others. You and I should not be about being served, but serving. What we're saying here. Spiritual gifts, above all else, are tools for ministry. That's what they are above all else. The Lord gave them to his servants so they can serve. It's very important to understand that spiritual gifts are not for self-edification. We can be so prideful. We can take a spiritual gift and say, look at me. Man, I am gifted. Spiritual gifts are not for our benefit. They are for the benefit of others. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying in Mark 10:45. And if, since they're for the benefit of others, it's a sin not to practice our spiritual gifts. Because when we don't practice our spiritual gifts, we are holding back our ministering to other people. And when we are holding back our ministering to other people, we are holding back our love for those people. If there's somebody who's in the church who has the gift of teaching, and they don't teach, and I'm going to tell you, it sounds like this, I just don't have the time. I've just got too many more commitments. I just don't have the time for this. But I'm going to tell you, if they have the gift of teaching, and they are not teaching in the church, they are not loving their brothers and sisters in that church. If someone has the gift of administration, and they are not practicing that gift somewhere in the church, they are not being a very good steward of what God has given them. And so to practice or not practice a spiritual gift is to sin. And so there's a variety of ministries, right? Third thing I want you to see, and this one's a little bit harder to understand, but the gifts have a variety of effects. Look at verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, okay? Activities is the word here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. The word translated activity actually has the idea of effects or results, okay? So think about that. I probably should say gifts have a variety of results. Probably is a better word if you want to put that in there. It just hit me. I don't know why it hit me when I was studying this. But anyway, Paul is saying here that spiritual gifts can have a variety of results or effects. The same gift can be used by the Lord in different ways, is what he's saying. Even the same person exercising the same gift is not always going to see the same kind or extent of result. I mean, you can go into one situation, you got your gift, you practice it, and it's one result. You can go into another situation, it may even seem like it's an identical situation, and you practice it like you always do, you may get a completely different result. And so... we should expect different ones. And not only do we have the different gifts, but we should expect to have the same gifts, but we should also not expect these gifts to operate the same way or produce the same amount of fruit each time. John MacArthur said this, talking about this subject. He said, God's people and God's gifts are like snowflakes. Now, snowflake has come to mean something completely different in our culture, okay? Don't think about the snowflake that's used politically or socially, okay? John MacArthur said, God's people and God's gifts are like snowflakes. No two are exactly alike. Okay, that's what we were talking about a minute ago. And the main point here is this. We are to practice our gifts, whatever they are, as faithfully as we can. And here's the deal. Leave the results up to God. We are called to be obedient, to practice our gifts, be as faithful as we can to practice those, and then leave the results up to Him. Because here's the deal. Who gave us the gift? God. He gave us this gift. Who empowers the gift? God. Who brings about the results? God. And so we are to be faithful, and we're to give it over to Him, and that's hard. This is hard. Because a lot of times we try to force the results. So, well, you know, I did it this way in this situation, and this happened. And then I'm in a completely different situation. It looks just like that one. I did the same thing. I'm not getting those results. So let me try to manipulate a little bit here. So we have to be careful about that. We have to be faithful in practicing our spiritual gift, but we have to leave the results up to God. Now, let me say this before we go to the last point. The emphasis here, we've seen in three verses, that word varieties, right? Varieties. And it seems that it's probably implied that the Corinthians, here's what I think was going on here. They were basically come to the point where they thought, you know what? These bigger, more dramatic gifts are either the only gifts or they're the only gifts worth having. And they wanted the big gifts, man. They wanted to be the ones who received the recognition and the reward publicly. And so Paul is correcting him here like he does. He said, look, God has given all Christians a gift. He said there's a variety of gifts. And he said that every gift is a spiritual gift, and they are just as important as any other. We should never envy anyone that we see that seem to be more greatly gifted but based on their recognition or reward. Here's what our concern should be. Our concern should be to discover and faithfully use and be grateful for the gift that the Lord has given each one of us. That should be our concern, not how someone else is using it or getting credit for or recognition or whatever. Our greatest concern should be, what is my spiritual gift? How can I practice this spiritual gift in the church? Thank God for this spiritual gift. Be grateful for it. Not only is every believer gifted, but every believer is perfectly gifted. Okay? God doesn't make mistakes. The gift that every believer has is completely perfect in every way. Listen, no other believer can take our place in God's heart. You agree? No other believer can take our place in God's work. No other believer can take our place in God's heart. No other believer can take our place in God's work. He has not given anyone else the exact gift that He's given to us. He has not given anyone else the exact ministry that He's given to us. So here's the deal. If we don't use our gift, this unique gift that's unlike everybody else in this church, no one will. If we don't fulfill our ministry in this church, that ministry will go unfulfilled. I think that's the thing that a lot of Christians get, and I think it's the devil a lot of the time. Sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes it's pure laziness. If I don't do it, somebody else will. Somebody will pick up, you know I'm not serving. I know I should be called to serve, but somebody else will take care of that. Or we think, you know what, somebody else is better at that. And what happens is, once again, the church doesn't function. That gift is not practiced. That ministry is not fulfilled. The church is weaker. The world is worse for it. And so this is why it's critical that we understand our gifts and we put them into practice. Fourth and final thing I want you to say, and we'll be done with this. The gifts have the same source and purpose. The gifts have the same source and purpose. Verse 7. It's the one we looked at a moment ago. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul restates what he's already emphasized in the last three verses. If you look at those three verses, what kind of pattern do you see? I'm not talking about the varieties. What do you see there? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Trinity, right? You see the Trinity in those first three verses? And so here's what the point he's making. He's saying God is the source of all spiritual gifts. God is the source of all spiritual gifts. They are given by, they're the manifestation of the divine Trinity. Look at this. He says gifts are given by the same Spirit in verse 4. There's the third person of the Holy Trinity, verse 4. The ministries are assigned by the same Lord in verse 5. There's the second person of the Trinity. And the effects are empowered by the same God in verse 6. Look, if anybody ever, every time we go through these verses, don't miss this part too. This is teaching about the Trinity. It's clear that those three individuals, right? The Spirit, the Lord, and the Father are all on the same level. They're equal. So these denominations that say, you know, the Trinity's not in the Bible, it's all over the Bible. This is one of those examples. It's kind of it's secondary to what we're discussing, but it's very important, okay, that this is clearly teaching that. Now, manifestation here, what does that mean, manifestation? This word is really talking about making something known or evident. So the spiritual gifts are for the purpose of making something known and evident. That's what spirituals do. Now, what do they make known or evidence? God, specifically the Holy Spirit. They make the Holy Spirit known and evident in the church and in the world. Once again, we see that the spiritual gifts are never to be hidden. They are never to be practiced privately, because they are for the purpose of putting the Holy Spirit on display. Okay? It's why we can't hold them. We can't practice them in private. These are things that are meant to be public displays of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And so that's number one. Manifestation is the basic idea of making known or evident the Holy Spirit. Also, last thing. Verse 7 says they are given for the common good. We've already said that spiritual gifts are for the purpose of edifying and helping the church. The common good. Who's he talking about? Who's common good? The body of Christ. These spiritual gifts are used by practice by the members of that body for the purpose of edifying and helping the church. And when we practice these spiritual gifts, the power of God is on display. And the church becomes stronger in our unity, in our worship, in our service, in our witnessing. So we see here what's at stake. This is why it's so important that we understand this doctrine. That's one of the least understood doctrines, but one of the more important doctrines. Okay? So that's what all we're going to say about tonight. That's just, once again, I hope we took a small step tonight. I hope it gives you a little bit better understanding of where we're going, what spiritual gifts are about. But once again, the further we go, the more detailed we'll get as far as understanding. This is kind of the overview.